Hear it first on BBC Sounds.
Hi, I'm Monty. Welcome to Life Lessons. This is a podcast from BBC Radio 4, where young people from across the UK talk about the issues that matter most to them. They've lived it so that we can learn from it. Have you checked your levels of toxic masculinity recently? What does that even mean? David Brockway helps us unlearn some of the rules inherited by our forefathers and upheld by society today.
I'm David Brockway. I'm the manager of the Great Men Project. We run workshops with teenage boys on gender equality in schools in London and the South East. I got into this work very much from a trying to stop or prevent violence against women. I don't think I'd ever used the word masculinity before I started working in this field, taking a lot of it onto myself, realising that I had been part of this world and I had been brought up in it. And although I wasn't in any way being violent towards women, as a man who hadn't really questioned these tropes and ideas and who had been in all-male groups a lot of the time, I definitely had to take my own responsibility of saying you've got to do something. Our workshops cover topics including sexual consent and healthy relationships to violence, pornography and the influence of the media. Above all, we discuss masculinity, feminism and what it really means to be a man. We use activities such as word association games. These help to bring out all the stereotypes that are already in the boys' heads. So for men, they might have words like strong, brave and dominant, while for women, they'll have kind, gentle and caring. So then we ask how and why. What causes these stereotypes? Where do they get ideas like it's weak for men to cry, that men are strong and women are not? Often, the kids have never had these conversations before. The most successful outcomes are when they have a light bulb moment. It's when they realise that they know these things through conditioning rather than actually believing the ideas. Toxic masculinity is talked about a lot these days. We would define it as a recognition that some or many of the ways men think they have to behave to be proper men in our society have profoundly negative consequences for them, their peers, but especially women and people of other genders. The toxic part of this phrase is very important because it suggests something that can influence you and affect you, even if it's not how you see your everyday behaviour actually coming out. It's important to talk about toxic masculinity because we're all a product of our previous generations. Every one of us is a result of what came before us. That means that a lot of ideas are being passed down that you didn't get a say over, that as a boy or a young man, you inherited without agreeing to those rules. Yet we live by a lot of these things as though they were rules that are written in stone. On top of the litany of negative consequences this has for women and girls, there are also lots of negative consequences for men and boys. Foremost amongst these is mental ill health and suicide, with suicide rates currently being much higher for men than women in the United Kingdom. The young men we speak to at our workshops often find it difficult to express emotion, to show emotional vulnerability, or to admit weakness. Our workshops encourage boys to critique phrases such as man up or take it like a man, common phrases which are actually saying men don't cry and men don't ask for help when they're feeling down. Another result of this version of being a man is violent behaviour. The idea that masculinity involves solving problems through violence leads to dangerous, if not fatal, outcomes for young men themselves as well as those they interact with. This behaviour isn't inherent or coming purely from malice. It's a result of being pushed to fit into one version of being a man and suppressing the other parts that make you who you really are. We get some big breakthroughs in our workshops, especially in terms of tackling violence and how it's linked to identity and masculinity. For example, realising that it's okay to walk away from an insult or challenge someone without resorting to violence, without punching or striking back. And then there are the consequences of toxic masculinity for others in society. For years, the responsibility to deal with these consequences has been solely on women. Grappling with sexism, violence, sexual harassment and harassment in the workplace have always been the responsibility of women. We feel that solving these issues is equally the responsibility of men. That's why it's important to get boys to have these conversations so that the next generation doesn't carry forward these negative ideas and stereotypes. Language is so important. We talk about being careful with words, such as slut, which has so many negative connotations, such as valuing a woman based on her sexual history. There's a huge double standard here as well, because for men, acting in the exact same way can lead to positive connotations, such as being called a player or a legend. In a recent workshop, when we were talking about this double standard, one boy responded by saying, "I just realised that I'm a sexist." We were quick to let him know that it's not him who is sexist, but the problem lies with our society and the sexist ideas within it. When talking about sexual behaviours, we also discuss homophobia. A lot of the boys just get a bit squeamish and like they don't want to talk about it. I think that's because of misunderstanding. A lot of the kids, their only experience of sexuality is saying that's gay as an insult. So many of the kids know to say it's okay to be gay, but they don't really mean it. So we're really trying to dig under that to say sexuality is huge and varied. You probably don't know your sexuality yet. That could change throughout your life. There are going to be people in this room, in this school, whose sexuality is different from what you might think. So you've got to understand that this is something that you accept. And that's very difficult for a lot of the kids because they are brought up so much in an environment where being gay is something that is not good. One of our most difficult topics is pornography. There can be such thing as ethical pornography, but there are billions of images and videos that are hugely negative. It's really sad, actually, because a lot of the boys we work with say they know this isn't a place to learn about sex, and they tell us, like, yeah, obviously this isn't real. But then also they're asking, well, where do we learn about it? Because when it's become as ubiquitous as it is, that's where you see sex before you see it anywhere else. Sometimes the boys we work with go back to a home environment where everything we talk about in the workshops is contrary to what they're taught and how they're brought up. Our aim is to plant a seed that will allow them to start questioning these things and feel empowered to create their own version of being a man.
From All Men to the Next Generation, musician Femi Colioso asks why youth crime is so pervasive in our society and what we're doing about it. And by we, I don't mean the MPs or the journalists, but us, you and I. How do we play our part in making society a better place?
I'm Femi Colioso. I'm a musician. I play the drums. I'm currently playing in a band called Ezra Collective, and I play the drums for singer Georgia Smith and saxophonist Nubia Garcia. But also alongside playing the drums, I'm really involved in my church youth group. I've got a youth group of about 200 kids that I spend as much time as possible with, hanging out with, playing with, teaching. With the issue of knife crime and youth violence and youth crime rates in the UK, it really breaks my heart every time I read different news stories and articles and tweets and Instagrams about what's going on. But a lot of the time when I read these things, I'm seeing a lot of speculation rather than solutions. And for me, what is such a negative scenario and negative thing, seeing a young kid lose their life, I'm more interested in trying to find out why that these things are happening, and then trying to find a solution that's positive. And I really believe that the solution will come from the individuals that care, not necessarily the government, not necessarily higher powers, but each one of us really working together and just doing the little bit that we can do together to really influence and impact what's happening in these children's lives. I think the main issue that we come to with why this is happening amongst kids is when you starve kids of a future, when you starve them of the opportunity to achieve their dreams and achieve their goals, they start to see life very, very short term. They start to consider their lives irrelevant and short term. And that's where you get kids making poor decisions based on very momentary feelings. For example, you don't see headlines often like, young footballer prospect playing for Arsenal stabs someone, or, you know, young woman playing tennis stabs someone. Those kind of children represent kids that are achieving their goals and achieving their dreams, and we need to, as a community, extend that beautiful thing to more children. When they have a future and a goal that they're aimed for, they start to see life long term. I didn't come from a background which means that, you know, I wasn't in the war zone, if you like. I was in a stable home. That route in life almost like wasn't an appealing option to me. But a lot of the people I grew up with, it was slightly different. But I always felt that because so many good people had planted a seed into my mind, that meant that I could go forward and aim for something. For me, it was music. I was in contact with Tomorrow's Warriors Jazz Organization, Connecticut Blocko Music Organization, etc. All of these different things really influenced me making a decision to put so much of my time and effort into music. And I really believe that it's not just music and it's not just sports that this can be achieved. A lot of the time we feel like to inspire and influence a kid, it is founded in being like a super famous rapper or a super famous footballer. But I'm saying each and every one of us as an individual has a part to play. Whether you're a journalist, whether you work in retail, whether you work in sales, or whether you work in music or sport. If you were just to give a kid, one kid in your life, just your time, just a little bit of your experiences, donate some of your time to a youth club, you never know what they could extract from you and what you could be that inspires them. It could be as little as meeting up with a kid once a week. It could really be anything to do with just, you know, going into schools. When I was younger, I was attending a youth club called SE1 United in the South Bank, and there was just a normal guy. He had a normal job in Canary Wharf, but he could speak Spanish. And on a Wednesday, he would come to SE1 United in the South Bank and he would help me learn Spanish. Youth clubs are getting shut left, right and centre, and, you know, opportunities for kids to achieve their musical dreams or sporting dreams in schools are being taken away by funding. So we have to make that difference instead. Maybe just you turning up to that kid and being like, yo, let's meet up at 6 p.m. to let's talk about how your German homework is going, or let's meet up at 6 p.m. and let's play some drums together. Maybe that will be the meeting that stops that kid rolling out with a knife and changing his whole life for the worse. So never ever underestimate the influence or impact you can have by giving your time to these children. So rather than just speculate on the issue, let's work together and find out, how can I make a difference? How can I plant a seed in a kid's mind, which means that they no longer see their lives as short term, but they see it as more long term. They see their lives as something they can achieve. The negativity that is portrayed on it almost puts a dark cloud over these kids, and it's not really working. We all know, you know, seeing statistics like London's just as bad as New York. Those kind of comments don't help the situation. It just adds fuel to the fire and puts a fear into kids that isn't necessary. We have to work together to change, because every life lost is such a disaster, but there are ways to avoid this. But building futures for kids and making them believe that they can go somewhere with their lives.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Life Lessons. In the next episode, David Saddington explains the truth of climate change, and farmer Kate Moore challenges us on the food we eat. You can also watch more Life Lessons on BBC Ideas. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe in BBC Sounds. There are loads of other great podcasts. I recommend Life Hacks. We'd also love it if you told your friends about us, wrote us a review, or send us a tweet at BBC Radio 4.
It's me, Mae Martin. I hope you enjoyed the podcast you just listened to. Can I recommend another podcast that you might enjoy? It's called Grown Up Land, and it's a podcast for people who find the adult world a bit much. Every week, me, Bisha K. Ali, and Ned Sedgwick, and tons of other guests try to get our heads around stuff that confuses us, like sex. Very confused by sex, fear, food, and friendship. I'm running out of time for this ad. Ned, how would you sum up the podcast?
I'd say it's like a guidebook for people who don't really know where they're going or where they've been.
Great. Thanks, Ned. That's Grown Up Land, and you can find it on BBC Sounds.